Welcome to BibleBap.org and the Sermon Archive Ministry of Bible Baptist Church of Monroe, Georgia. For over 45 years, the Bible has been faithfully preached from the pulpit of Bible Baptist Church each week. 1 Corinthians 1:21 reminds us that it is by the preaching of the Word of God that men and women are saved. We trust you will be blessed and encouraged by the preaching ministry of our senior pastor, Greg Butler, the church staff, and guests who fill the pulpit at Bible Baptist Church. Let's open our Bibles now as God's Word is opened and preached to us.
Take your Bible, turn with me please to the book of Matthew, chapter number 14. Matthew chapter number 14. Matthew chapter number 14. Brother Mark prayed, and I'm so glad he did this morning for the church, all the churches, the gospel preaching churches in California. A judge had ruled this past Friday that the governor of California had overstepped his bounds, which he had, when he told the churches that they couldn't meet in their buildings and they couldn't sing and all this stuff. And so anyway, late last night, you know, a lot of things happen under the cover of darkness. An appeals court judge came back and he overruled the lower court judge. And he said that it's against the law in California again today for churches to meet indoors and for them to sing and so forth there. And it's taking a great amount of courage, a great amount of grace for those Christians in California this morning to worship the Lord publicly. And we need to pray for our brothers and sisters in California today. You know, it didn't work out too well for Herod, I'm reminded, in the book of Acts when he opposed the New Testament church. And he got a good case of the worms, and the worms finished him off. And folks, I'm just about at the point where I'm praying for the governor of California and those liberal judges out there to get a good case of the worms that'll just do away with them. We're living in the day of grace. The Lord is merciful, but the Lord takes care of people like that in His time. And so continue to pray for the situation in California, and be thankful for the governor that we have in the state of Georgia. If you and I had had the opponent of our governor to win the race on this last election, we would be in the same situation as the people in California. She is of the same ilk as the crowd in California that's trying to put the churches out. And so be thankful and remember to pray for our governor, because our governor is a great blessing in the state of Georgia. And we are thankful for him. And Judy and I call his name in prayer every night before we go to sleep and ask the Lord to bless him and protect him and his wife and their children, along with others and that are political leaders in our country. If you found your place in your Bible, Matthew chapter number 14, let's go down for the sake of time to verse number 22. Matthew chapter 14, verse number 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. If you make notes in your Bible beside this passage of Scripture, perhaps this morning you'd want to write something like this in the margin here. Write something like this: security in the storms. Security in the storms. Would you bow with me and let's pray together? Father, I ask this morning, now that you would bring to my attention, that you would speak to my heart the precious truths, the treasures of your word that would meet the needs of our lives today. Lord, I pray today that you would open our eyes to the glory of this passage of Scripture. And I ask you for the unction of the Holy Spirit to preach your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. When you peruse this entire 14th chapter of Matthew, you'll notice that there are three groups of people that are introduced to us here that surround the Lord Jesus. Three groups of people, and what we see in this particular chapter here is the response of the Lord Jesus to each one of these groups. For instance, in the first 13 verses, you find the enemies of Jesus. Beginning in chapter 14, verse number 1, you read about Herod. You read about Herod who had John the Baptist decapitated. And you read how that the disciples of John the Baptist took his body and buried it, and they went and they told Jesus. When you see the enemies here, you see the response of the Lord Jesus to the situation. There's something very interesting in verse number 13. The response of the Lord Jesus at this particular time is caution. The Lord Jesus realized that John had been put to death, and there were those who were ready to put him to death. Only Jesus would not die at this time. Jesus was going to wait for the fulfillment of the prophecy of the Old Testament. Jesus would die on Passover time. And so it was not God's perfect timing for Jesus to yield up the ghost, for him to lay down his life at this particular time. And you see the caution in verse 13. When Jesus heard of it, that is the decapitation of John the Baptist, when Jesus heard of it, he departed there by ship into a desert place apart. Beginning in verse number 14, you find another group of people. You find the multitudes. And in verses 14 through 21, you find the Lord Jesus there responding to the multitudes with compassion. It tells us in verse 14, Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And then at the end of the day, when the evening began to come, the Lord Jesus blessed the loaves and the fishes, and he fed the 5,000 men plus the women and the children there. Jesus exercised compassion in dealing with the multitude here. Now, the remainder of the chapter deals with another group of people. It deals with the disciples of the Lord Jesus. And the way that the Lord Jesus dealt with his response in dealing with the disciples here was to deal with them in care and in concern. And it's that part of the chapter that interests us this morning. What follows in this passage of Scripture as Jesus is dealing with the disciples here is a gift of God's encouragement to every believer who passes through the storms of life. And listen, make no doubt about it, every believer passes through storms in life. We're, in fact, right now in our nation and in our world, believers are passing through a storm, a storm of significant consequence. And so when we find ourselves in a storm, we read this passage of Scripture, and it reveals to us several specific assurances that God gives to us, God wants us to have, that God wants us to hold dear to our hearts. And notice them with me this morning. First of all, in verse number 22, we have the assurance when it says, "And straightway," or immediately, "Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away." Here's the first assurance that we have. He brought me here. He brought me
here. I'm talking about the place where the storm was. And you notice the source of the storm here. The storm came to the disciples because they were in the will of God, not because they were outside of the will of God. Hey, did you know that's possible? It's possible when we're in the center of God's will for Christians to go through storms in this life. Jonah, on the other hand, was in a storm because he was outside of the will of God. Sometimes I preach in the book of Jonah on the theme self-inflicted storms. Some people this morning, I'm talking about some Christians, are in a storm. You're like a termite in the middle of a yo-yo. And it's because of your own choices. You made the choices. And it's like Dr. Adrian Rogers said, and you must live then with the consequences of your choice. Jonah was in a self-inflicted storm. You need to ask yourself this morning, if you are going through a personal storm, you need to ask yourself the question, am I here because I'm in the will of God, or am I here in a storm because I'm outside the will of God? You notice the source of the storm. But the disciples were in the storm. He brought me here. And you see also in this passage of Scripture, the safety. Notice here that the disciples, although they were in a storm, the disciples here were in a place of safety. Listen to me this morning. If you are in the will of God, you are far safer there than you would be outside the will of God. There is safety for the believer inside the will of God. I remember several years ago, Dr. Lee Robertson, who was a pastor at Highland Park Baptist Church, and he was the president of Tennessee Temple University, had a young person from their church, from the school there, that was called to the mission field. And the day came that this young person was going to leave to go off to the field. And there at the airport, Dr. Robertson went to say goodbye along with others. And the mother of this particular student came to Dr. Robertson, and she was clenching her teeth, and she was angry that her child had answered God's call to go to the mission field. And with clenched teeth, she pointed her finger at Dr. Lee Robertson and said, Dr. Robertson, I'll have you to know, if anything happens to my child on the mission field, I will hold you personally responsible. And Dr. Robertson, man of God that he was, said to this grieving mother, dear lady, your child is far safer in the will of God on the darkest mission field on this earth than this child would be out of the will of God here in the United States. There's safety in the will of God. Never judge your safety or your security on the basis of outward circumstances. He brought me here. You see the source, you see the safety, and you see also the significance here. There are essentially two kinds of storms that the Bible tells us about. Number one, there are storms of correction. Jonah was in a storm of correction. But there are also storms of perfection, when God is perfecting our faith in Him. God uses that storm that we're passing through to bring us to a place of spiritual maturity that we would never arrive at apart from the experience of the storm. The disciples had already been tested with Jesus in the boat. If you read in Matthew chapter number 8, remember there was a storm that came there. And so the disciples had already been through a test with Jesus in the boat. Now, in chapter number 22, they're having a test, and it is a test when Jesus is outside their boat. And the Lord is bringing them through this storm to perfect their faith in Him, to mature their faith in Him. In order that our faith might be mature, Christ allows us to go through storms. But when this happens, we can rest in the assurance that He brought me here. We mentioned these things concerning this matter of the Lord bringing us into storms. Be alert to the sham doctrine that you hear often on religious TV and so forth. who deny that storms ever come to the life of a Christian. Everybody's just always glad and happy, and nobody's sick, and nobody has trouble. And folks, that is not Bible. That nowhere in the Scripture did the Lord promise us that our journey toward heaven would be a journey without storms. That is a false doctrine that is espoused by many of the TV evangelists and so forth today. Jesus never promised us that there would be no storms. Jesus promised that he would be with us in the storms. But we have that assurance. He brought me here. Look at verse 23, please. There's also a blessing that we have here, and that is when you and I go through the storms of life, we learn that he is praying for me. He's praying for me. Look at verse 23, if you would. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Do you see the context here? The disciples are sailing out into a storm. They're, because they're answering the call of the Lord Jesus, the command of the Lord Jesus. They're following the will of the Lord. They're going out into the storm. And here's the Lord Jesus, and he's going up into a mountain where that he can look out over the sea and he can pray. You see the correlation here? The entire scene here in Matthew chapter number 14, as Jesus is on the mountain praying and the disciples are out on the Sea of Galilee about to enter into a storm. It's a picture of the New Testament church today. God's people in this world are in the sea of life. And sometimes in the sea of life, the seas get stormy. There are burdens, there are problems, there are trials, there are difficulties. And it's a picture of where we are today that we read in verse number 23. The Lord, he's up above praying, and here we are out on the sea of life, sailing into a storm. But as Jesus looks out over the sea, he knows just exactly what's going on with the disciples. He knows what's happening to the disciples. He knows how they feel. And he is interceding for them. If you make notes in your Bible, please, beside verse number 23, write this reference, Romans 8:34. Romans 8:34. And once you have written that, would you please turn in your Bible to Romans chapter 8 and verse number 34. When you and I are in a storm, we need to be reminded that the Lord Jesus is praying for us. Romans 8, verse number 34. If you found it in your Bible, the word of the Lord says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, look at this, who also maketh intercession for us. The Lord Jesus is at the right hand of his Father, and as he looks down on the earthly scene and he sees the saints of God going through the storms and the waves are churning and the wind is blowing, and we get disoriented in the storm, the Lord Jesus sees it all, and he's interceding to the Father in our behalf. He knows just exactly where we are and what the storm is all about, and the Lord Jesus is making intercession for us. Do you see the comfort in this passage of Scripture? If you knew that the Lord Jesus was in an adjacent room. Today, would it make any difference to you if you knew that the Lord Jesus bodily was in the usher's room out here and the Lord Jesus was calling your name to the Father in prayer? Would it make any difference to you? The fact of the matter is, where he is immaterial. The fact of the matter is, he is at the right hand of the Father and he is praying for you and me today. He is interceding for us. It is just as real as if he were there in the usher's room calling on the Father. The Lord Jesus is at the Father's right hand, and he's calling out your name and my name, and he's making intercession for us as we go through the storms. We have the comfort that's given to us here that even though we might be in a storm of life, our Savior, our Redeemer, is calling out our name to the Father. and intercession to us. Look at verse number 25, please, back in Matthew chapter number 14. Here's a third comfort that's given to us when you and I are going through times, seasons of storminess in life. Verse number 25, and in the fourth watch of the night. You know what the fourth watch of the night is? That's in the Jewish time. That was from 3 until 6 in the morning. It is the darkest time of the night. That's significant. The darkest period of the night. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Here's that third comfort there. When we're going through the storm, He will come to me. He will come to me. Can you imagine the feeling of the disciples? It ought to be easy for us here to imagine the feeling of the disciples here, because it's just like us when we get in the midst of the storm, when we are in the eye of the storm, it seems to us like that the Lord has forgotten us. No doubt it seemed to the disciples on board the ship there, as the ship is rolling and it's rocking in the storm. Surely it crossed through their mind there, Jesus sent us out here in the midst of this, and now the Lord has forgotten all about us. The Lord has forsaken us. Have you ever felt like that in your Christian life? Have you ever felt like that in your Christian? Come on, be honest. When you get in a storm and you begin to say, where's the Lord? Where's the Lord in all of this? But we're reminded here that God never calls believers to live by our feelings. A lot of Christians get in trouble in their walk with Christ because they're trying to walk according to their feelings. The Lord did not call us to walk by our feelings. He called us to walk by faith in His Word. You see, the fact is that He has promised to be with us in all of our storms. Everybody here knows the promise in Hebrews 13, verse number 5, where the Lord said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Can I give you another one? Would you mark your Bible here? Go with me back to the book of Isaiah just a moment, please. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse number 2. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse number 2. The Lord does not call us to live and make decisions according to our feelings. The Lord calls us to live by faith in Him, to believe His promises, and here's one of them. In Isaiah 43 and verse number 2, when thou passest through the waters, when you're going through a storm, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee, for I am the Lord thy God. The Lord has given us a promise here that we can trust in. And that is, when you and I are in the midst of our storm, the Lord is not going to forsake us. He's going to come to us in the storm. Do you see the fear? What happened in this verse of Scripture? In verse number 26, the disciples they saw the Lord walking on the sea. They were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. Why did the disciples not recognize Jesus when He came to them? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Why did the disciples not recognize Jesus? He was not yet in His glorified body. Why did the disciples not recognize the Lord Jesus here? It's because they allowed fear to take the place of faith. And faith always blinds our eyes. Fear always blinds our eyes to the presence of the Lord. You ever think about that? When you and I allow fear to take over, we replace our faith with fear. Fear always blinds the eyes of a believer to the presence of the Lord. Folks, that's one reason today we've got so many fearful Christians running across our nation, because they've allowed fear to take the place of faith. And fear has blinded their eyes to the presence of the Lord, who said, I will never leave you. He said, though you walk through the water, he said, I'll be with you. He said, though you walk through the fire, I'll be with you. The Lord has not called us to walk according to our feelings. He's called us to walk according to faith in him, faith in his promises. Real quickly, look at verse number 27, if you would. There's another comfort that the Lord gives to us in the times that we're going through storms. We find it beginning in verse 27. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, as I be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, saying, Lord, save me. Here's the fourth comfort the Lord gives us here. He will help me to grow. He will help me to grow. The passage here brings to us the purpose here. The whole purpose of the storm was to promote the growth of the disciples in their spiritual walk. That's the storm was not arbitrary. It was not incidental. The whole purpose of the storm was so that the disciples might grow in their walk with the Lord. After all, the Lord one day was going to ascend back to the right hand of the Father. He was going to depart from them in the physical sense, and they would face other storms in their lives, other storms in their ministries. They had to learn to trust the Lord even when he was not physically present with them. Even when outward appearances made them question if he cared, the Lord was seeking through the storm to grow the disciples. And you see the personalization here. Simon Peter added a special personal note to this incident here. Simon Peter said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come to thee on the water. And Jesus said, come. And Simon Peter walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now we know when he took his eyes off Jesus and he began to look at the storm instead of Jesus, we know what happened here. But you see the personalization here. Peter's example reminds us here that anybody can sit in the boat and watch, but it takes a person of genuine faith to leave the security of the boat and go to Jesus. We ask ourselves, where would we be in this particular account here? Would we be the disciples that stayed in the ship? Or would we be with Peter, who actually got out of the ship to walk to Jesus? You see, the principle that's given here, the principle is that storms of life are not easy, but storms of life are necessary. I wish I didn't have to tell you that this morning, but it's true. Storms of life, and we all go through them. Right now, our world is going through a storm. Storms of life are never easy, but for the Christian, in order to grow in our walk with the Lord, they are necessary. They're a necessary part of the spiritual growth process. They teach us to trust Christ, to trust him alone, to obey his word, no matter what the circumstances may be. We find the principle that he will help us to grow through the storms. There's one last thing I want you to see, starting in verse number 31. It says that immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught Peter, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they, Jesus and Peter, were come into the ship, the wind ceased, the storm stopped. Then they that were in the ship came and worshiped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Here's the final principle, the final comfort here, and that is, he will see me through the storm. He will see me through the storm. As the author and the finisher of our faith, the Lord Jesus always completes what he starts. Here he delivered the disciples safely through the storm, and it produced results. One of the results that it produced was maturity. Did you know? Real quickly, take your Bible. Go with me back to Matthew chapter number 8. Matthew chapter number 8. Just a moment there. In Matthew chapter number 8, in verse number 23. Matthew 8, 23, and when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye so fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Verse 27, but the men marveled, saying, Now get this. What manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? Okay, now that was another storm experience on the Sea of Galilee. They had already passed through the experience of that storm. And what was their response there? What manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? But go back to Matthew 24, please, and look at verse number 33 once again. Matthew 14, 33. They come through the storm on this occasion, and they don't ask the same question, what manner of man is this that even the wind and sea obey him? Look at verse 33. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Do you see how the storm, when they were delivered through the storm brought a different response this time? The Lord saw them through the storm, and when he did, it brought them to a new stage of maturity that they had not realized, they had not seen in themselves back in Matthew chapter number 8. You see also the magnification here. Not only the maturity, but the magnification in verse number 33, when it tells us here, they came and worshiped the Lord. Jesus had demonstrated his power as king over all creation. And one of the results that follows when a believer witnesses and experiences with Christ, seeing us through our storm, will be that we will worship the Lord more mindful of who he is than we ever did before. When we've been through the storm, when he's carried us safely through the storm, we come out on the other side, we'll worship him in a greater way than we worshiped him before. That's a part of the magnificence of the process of going through the storm on this occasion. The Bible finishes out the text here as we read when we opened this morning. The ship landed at Gennesaret, near Capernaum, near Bethsaida. And there the Lord Jesus continued that ministry to people. It tells us that Jesus healed many people. The people came and said, if we could just touch the hem of his garment, would be made whole. And the scripture says, as many as touched were made whole. But I wonder, how many of the people there at Bethsaida, how many of the people there at Capernaum took time to notice and remember what the Lord had endured in order to meet their need? The Lord Jesus himself had passed through a storm that night in order to get to the people to meet the need that they had. The most severe storm that the Lord Jesus ever passed through was that storm on Calvary. The Lord Jesus, in order to meet our need, our greatest need, in order that our sin could be washed away, in order that we could have a new birth, be born of the Spirit, and become new creatures in Christ, in order that our eternal residence could be exchanged from the lake of fire to the streets of gold in heaven, in order for that to take place, the Lord Jesus had to go through the storm of Calvary. But because Jesus was willing to go to the cross and be nailed to the cross, the Lord Jesus was willing to pay our sin debt and then be raised from the dead on the third day, the Lord Jesus is able to meet our every need. I was reading the story of a missionary noticed one day when he was on the mission field, he noticed this young boy had these extreme scars between his knees and his ankles. And he noticed he also had scars on his wrist, but he had extreme scars on his knees and his ankles. And he asked the boy, "What happened to you?" And he said, "Well, one day I was wading in the river," and he said, "a crocodile came after me." And he said, "The crocodile sank its teeth into my legs and began to pull me out into the river. And my mother saw what was happening, and she came and she grabbed me by the wrist, and she began a tug of war with a crocodile. And eventually, because of her persistence, she was able to pull my legs out of the mouth of the crocodile." But he said, "Those scars on my legs are where the teeth of that crocodile literally tore my flesh." And the missionary said, "But what about the scars on your wrist?" And the missionary said, the boy smiled. He said, "Those are love scars." The missionary asked him, "What do you mean love scars?" He said, "When my mother realized that in order to save me from death by the crocodile, she literally sank her fingernails into the flesh of my wrist, and she began to pull, she did battle that crocodile, and she rescued me." He said, "Those are the love scars of my mother that would not let the enemy have me." And folks, the Lord Jesus in heaven, when we see the Lord Jesus is going to have the love scars in his hands, his feet, and in his side, where the Lord Jesus would not allow our souls to be doomed to hell forever. He was not willing that any should perish. And when we call on him, when we receive him as our personal Savior, the power of those scars, the power of the shed blood forgives our sin and redeems our soul. Folks, when we're going through storms in life, the Lord has given us exceeding great and precious promises of his word. We have the assurance here. When we go through a storm, first of all, he brought me here. If we're in the will of God, he brought me here. And number two, when we're in the midst of the storm, we have the assurance that whether we can feel it or not, he's praying for us. Number three, we have the assurance that he'll come to us in the storm. Number four, that he'll help us to grow in our walk with him in the storm. And number five, he'll see us safely through the storm to the other side.